Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
New York State Board of Regents Chancellor Meryl Tisch joins us now. A brave woman to come forward on the first day of the three-day standardized tests in math after last week's brouhaha over a bizarre reading comprehension story in the eighth-grade English test about a pineapple that challenges a hare to a race. An article in Education Week calls it Pineapple Gate. We'll talk about that, but also about the chancellor's announcement this week that she is considering three different ways to graduate from high school, which would replace the current one-size-fits-all diploma. Chancellor Tisch, we appreciate it a lot. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning to all of you.
So you announced plans this week to consider three pathways to high school graduation in New York State, the current one, which includes the five current statewide Regents exams, or one focusing on math and science with no global history test, and one for career and technical skills. What's the goal?
Well, the goal really is to widen our lens and to be responsive to what we are clearly seeing around us as a changing labor market, and ultimately to align educational opportunities that are richly diversified, relevant, engaging, and most importantly, meet a 21st century economic challenge to this country, to our state, head on. And what we'd like to do is take all of the information that we have gathered through a year of traveling the state, going from community to community, holding hearings on graduation requirements, talking nationally about how to build a more finely articulated pathway to graduation. For so many years, we have been getting feedback about New York State's one-size-fits-all. In other words, that we've created only one pathway that really identifies the strengths of students who can meet a certain challenge, but doesn't create opportunity for students to be able to show other skill sets and move towards graduation requirements.
That's
what we're trying to do.
There are already critics who say you've been working to raise the bar for years so that a high school diploma is more meaningful academically. Mm-hmm. We have all these kids who go on to freshman year in college and need all this remediation. So you've been working to raise the bar. And now you might, as they see it, lower the bar to improve graduation rates. Is there a tension that you have to navigate between the two goals?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you clear out. We have no intention of lowering the standard for graduation. We have absolutely no intention of moving away from a global history requirement for high school graduation to meet the course credit requirements.
Has the reporting on that been wrong?
I think the reporting on that probably didn't include the conversation that we had at the board on Monday, where if you went around the table, I would say out of the 17 members of the Board of Regents, at least 12 or 13, to my mind, spoke clearly that we cannot move away from global history as a course content availability in high school, particularly now in a global world. That was never the intention. The intention was to lay out other pathways that youngsters might use to create educational environments where they can succeed. But let me just say, if you travel New York State and you look at some of the career and technical programs that are around the state, those youngsters, in many instances, are graduating high school, meeting all the requirements at higher levels than sometimes the general ed pathways. This was an attempt to put some teeth behind our desire to create career and technical programs that are relevant to this labor market and to this changing economy. And I had a wonderful conversation in New York City about 5 years ago on graduation requirements. And I'm not going to name the official, but it was a pretty high official. And I said to him, how come we in New York City can't create more career and technical programs? We have all industry here. We have great thinking here. We have great resources here. Why can't we do it? And he said to me, Merrill, as long as you keep placing the bet on the same five tests, I've got to get every kid through the same five tests. And with limited resources, I can't take a lot of money away to create programs that aren't going to lead to a graduation path.
So on the career and technical skills path, would they be prepared for real career and technical skills that could get them meaningful jobs? Because the other criticism that you know comes along these lines is, wait, kids who are going for a career and technical skills diploma rather than an academic diploma are kids the system is giving up on and saying you're not quality for college, rather than saying everybody can learn.
So I would say in New York State there are programs now with IBM and Cisco. And those kids graduating from those high schools that are partnered with IBM and Cisco, frankly, get choice placement in college and have a career path coming out of school. I think that on the other end, we have cosmetology programs that are a dead end, that aren't really leading to any path. Those jobs are just, they haven't existed for a decade, and they're not going to be replaced. So the question is how to map this out strategically. But we can't deny the fact that if you go to upstate New York, and I'm looking, not even upstate, go to Saunders Technical High School in Yonkers, see what those kids are getting in terms of a career path. They actually graduate high school with a choice. Do I want to take a job now, or do I want to go on to college? And as I said before, throughout New York State, the evidence is that kids who are in integrated career and technical programs are passing their Regents requirements at higher levels than many other students. So I believe that if we ensure a pathway to graduation which focuses on career and technical, allows that to be an end result, we will get enormous capacity building in our system around that. But people are not going to invest in expensive new programs if it doesn't lead to a graduation pathway. And that's what this is. But I would like our listeners to understand, don't mistake this for the old vocational education. This is not tracking. This is an alternate pathway to career and college ready. Every one of the pathways that we have identified have as its benchmark career and college ready.
Merrill Tisch, New York State Board of Regents Chancellor, our guest on WNYC. Changing topics, you've probably heard enough by now about the nonsense fable about the pineapple and the hare that appeared on the 8th grade reading test last week. My son happened to be one of those test takers and claims he got all the questions right, including that the moral of the story was that pineapples have no sleeves. Now I'm worried. What kind of a brain gets that question right? But now there are questions on the math tests that begin today, revealed to have no right answer or two right answers. Is this an unusually careless year for the makers of these tests?
So let me say, in New York State, we do 5 million tests in this 3-8 testing cycle with 30 different exams. We are assuring that these tests are sound. I would say that every year we have one or two issues with a test question here and a test question there. But the noise level on these particular, and I am not making an excuse for any errors that were part of the test booklets. I am a person with really high standards, and believe me, what I had to say to Pearson, I probably can't repeat on your radio show. I don't suffer these types of mistakes with great ease. So that being said, I want to say that there is a large attempt here to use what is probably errors that occur just by the volume of test questions and the numbers of tests being given, because there is a sense of urgency around these tests because of the teacher evaluation system, which is going into place using these tests as the benchmark. And so I took the opportunity on Thursday to talk to a lot of teachers and on Friday to talk to teachers and superintendents throughout the state. And let me tell you what I heard. I heard consistently that the tests were fair. They were a little bit more difficult, and we said they were going to be more difficult as we move towards the adoption of Common Core standards next year. But there were one or two issues that I think are more significant than an error in a test booklet, and that would be, I think, that the 90-minute block of time that we allowed for third and fourth graders, every one of the superintendents and every one of the teachers that I spoke to said it's just too long a sitting time for the young kids, and I think we need to address that.
I did read online an open letter to you that a group of principals statewide sent the other day saying the pineapple debacle was foreseeable to them as a symbol of a careless implementation of a reform agenda that costs billions, exhausts students with 3 days of long tests, stifles creative teaching, and doesn't even produce progress. So there are at least that many principals, I think it was signed by 140 or something, who feel that the whole standardized test regimen is wrong for New York. Did you read that letter?
I did. And I want to say that I have spoken with many of those, the leadership of those groups over the last year as we've put in place a teacher evaluation system. If you merge those lists with the list of signers, probably with the people who are in the anti-testing movement and the anti-teacher evaluation movement, I'm sure there would be great frequency. But let me say something. I understand the anxiety that is built up over a high-stakes system. This year in particular, because we are engaged in teacher evaluation based on these state tests. But let me say that that is why we designed a system to evaluate teachers that has multiple measures, not just a standardized test. 40 points of the evaluation is going to be based on standardized testing. 60 points is going to be based on things like principal observation, peer review, teachers' personal reflections. So I want to say I would ask those principals, and within the 40 points that are going to be based on standardized tests, only 20 points need to be based on state tests. So 20 out of 100 points based on state tests, a state test that I might assure the public is psychometrically sound. We believe that the test is effective. And then there is the possibility for people around the state to use 20 points on a different state test. So I would want to know how many of those teachers are sitting in schools and in school districts that are using 40 points based on this state test rather than 20 points based on this. That would be an important indicator. But I do want to say the majority of the evaluation of system, of teachers in New York State system is going to be based on something other than standardized testing. This is something that we were very clear about from the beginning.
Let's take a phone call. We're almost out of time, but I want to get one parent in here. Vern calling from Harlem. Vern, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I actually wanted to speak about the high-stakes testing, but this idea of the different career tracks. My wife is actually German, and that's what they start apprenticeships in Germany, like in middle school and high school. So I'm encouraged to hear that. But, you know, I think I still have a problem. Like right now my daughter is going to kindergarten next year, and my wife and I, we opted to put her in a private school. We actually won a lottery. We got a generous financial aid package. And the main reason that we selected this private school wasn't even the fact that it's private, but that we don't want our daughter to be subjected to this high-stakes testing regime. Because, you know, as this pineapple question suggests, the exams are very capricious, but they're also punitive. Like, you know, teachers are intimidated by them and demoralized, so our students, parents are confounded by them. And, you know, when I was in school, you know, like 20% was the difference between an A and a C. So even if these tests constitute just 20%, that's a big chunk, you know. And since school closures are determined by these, since teacher tenure can be determined by these, since school closures, funding formulas can be dependent on these things, I think the stakes are just too high, and that we should return to when I took standardized testing when I went to school 30 years ago, they were assessments. You know, they weren't these high stakes where everything depends upon what happens with these tests that are entirely capricious. Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Thank you very much. Well, Chancellor Tisch, go ahead and respond to Vern, and we're almost out of time.
Well, Vern, I understand where you're coming from, and I would just say that I think there has been a lot of hype about how these tests are going to be used in public space. I think it's created enormous tension in school buildings. But I think as we go through this and people and teachers and superintendents learn to use the evaluation system, I think a lot of this hype is going to be tempered. And I understand the point that you're making. As you know, I've articulated reasons why I happen to disagree with this. And we'll see going forward.
Do you think that the meaning of standardized tests to a student's progress is different in high poverty or low poverty neighborhoods? Would you say kids from poor neighborhoods who start out maybe not doing as well or without as many advantages benefit more from the standardized tests because they help ensure that they're learning the basics of reading and math, or don't you look at it that way?
I absolutely do look at it that way. A decade ago in New York State, kids were tracked from very early ages on. Some kids were put on a Regents track, some kids were put on the non-Regents track. And you could bet that the kids on the non-Regents track came from high-need, high-poverty areas.
And yet some parents in high-need areas say, this treats our kids like widgets while the kids in the wealthier areas are getting enrichment.
I believe that the new accountability system, which calls for the evaluation of growth, meaning how much is each student progressing personally during the school year, really levels that playing field. It is really hard work for a kid coming in at a level one to move to a level two. And our school system was never designed to account for that hard work, to recognize it and to praise it. With the new accountability system, that movement from level one to level two is going to be identified as performing at a level that makes a school on a right track. And with that change alone, I believe it will be very, very significant throughout the whole system. We are going to look at individual growth.
Merrill Tisch, Chancellor of the New York State Board of Regents, thanks for coming out on Statewide Math Day. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, an interesting new survey of American and Chinese business leaders finds Americans think of China as a threat to the U.S., the Chinese see themselves as a partner, and other fascinating findings. Stay tuned.